From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming, voanews.id. Hello listener, how are you? I'm Stefanus, will be in here with you for the next 60 minutes. We will present various programs for you, like the news, commentary, light info, and also pop songs from Indonesia. And listener, we will have first the news, so stay tuned with us in Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world, on the frequencies of 3325 kHz and voanews.id.
Here is the news, first the headlines. Minister of Foreign Affairs summoned Malaysian ambassador to Indonesia to clarify the ban of Indonesian citizens to visit Malaysia. Minister Sri Mulyani projects third quarter growth to contract. Now the news in details. Spokespersons of the Indonesian Minister of Foreign Affairs, Tengku Faizal Shah, to Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta via a short message on Wednesday, stated that Malaysian government will ban long-term past residence permit holders from Indonesia, the Philippines, and India to enter Malaysia because of preventing imported cases of COVID-19. He also said that the policy will start being effective on September 7, 2020. The Indonesian government knew the policy from the news in the media. Tengku Faizal Shah further explained that the Indonesian Ministry of Foreign Affairs had summoned the Malaysian Ambassador to Indonesia, Zainal Abidin Bakar, to clarify the news.
Untuk itu, pada hari ini, Kementerian Luar Negeri telah
the Indonesian Minister of Foreign Affairs on Wednesday had summoned and asked the Malaysian Ambassador to Indonesia to clarify about the news.
Memintakan klarifikasi atas pemberitaan tersebut.
Moreover, Tengku Faizal Shah stated that the Malaysian Ambassador to Indonesia, Zainal Abidin Bakar, will convey the result of the talks to the Malaysian government and informs them that the policy is temporary and will be reviewed every week. In response to the Malaysian government policy that bans the long-term pass residence permit holders from Indonesia to enter Malaysian territory, Tengku Faizal Shah affirmed that the Indonesian government urged Indonesian citizens not to visit foreign countries except for urgent needs.
Indonesia kembali menghimbau warga negara kita.
Indonesian government appeals again to Indonesian citizens not to travel abroad except for very urgent and inevitable needs. But in regard to development in Malaysia, of course, Indonesian government will give an announcement through the travel advice mechanism owned by the Ministry of Foreign Affairs. Tengku Faizal Shah further explained that to overcome the COVID-19 pandemic, it requires good cooperation and communication between the two countries. He also remarked that Indonesia and Malaysia are ASEAN member countries, even as the founders of ASEAN, so that the spirit of ASEAN must be materialized in the cooperation of handling COVID-19. Minister of Finance Sri Mulyani Indrawati has forecast Indonesia's economic growth to contract in the third quarter of this year and to stay slightly below a neutral zone in the fourth quarter. As quoted by Antaranus Agency, Minister Sri Mulyani during a working meeting with the House of Representatives DPR at Commission 10 in Jakarta on Wednesday, stated that her forecast suggests that it will continue to witness negative growth in the third quarter and will slightly stay below a neutral zone in the fourth quarter. She also remarked that the economy will potentially contract in the third quarter owing to the still fragile ongoing economic recovery. Minister Sri Mulyani added that public activities began to increase in May and June and consumption is expected to recover in stages. An improvement in the U.S. economic data applied pressures on the Indonesian rupiah traded at the Jakarta's interbank market on Wednesday morning. The rupiah plunged 78 points, or 0.53%, to trade at 14,650 rupiah per dollar at 9:15 a.m. local time on Wednesday, from 14,573 rupiah per dollar earlier. As stated by Antaranus Agency, chief researchers at Monex Invest in the Futures, Ariston Chandra, remarked, that regional currencies appear to have come under pressures against the dollar on Wednesday. He also noted the appreciation of the U.S. dollar was triggered by the rising index of the U.S. manufacturing activities in August release overnight. This news comes to you from Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Let's move on to the international news. Turkey's Health Minister Fahrettin Koca, amid a rapid rise in the number of daily cases and deaths on Wednesday, stated that Turkey is seeing the second peak of the coronavirus outbreak due to carelessness at weddings and other social gatherings. As reported by Reuters.com, speaking after a meeting of his coronavirus science team, Minister Koca said that Ankara had seen the most rapid rise in the number of cases lately. He also pointed out that 29,865 healthcare workers had contracted the virus so far, with 52 of them dying. Minister Koca further said, the outbreak is increasingly continuing. The virus is spreading to more people each day. The United Nations Acting Libya Envoy Stephanie Williams said on Wednesday that foreign supporters of both sides in the civil war were helping them stockpile weapons in breach of an arms embargo and as a coronavirus spirals out of control in the country. As reported by Reuters.com, Stephanie told the UN Security Council that some 70 resupply flights had landed in eastern airports in support of the Libyan National Army, LNA, of Khalifa Haftar since July 8. In the same period, 30 flights and 9 cargo ships had carried material to western Libya to assist the internationally recognized Government of National Accord, or GNA, in Tripoli. She did not name the countries involved. The LNA is supported by the United Arab Emirates, Russia, and Egypt, while the GNA is backed by Turkey. Comrade Touch, a former senior figure of the Khmer Rouge convicted of crimes against humanity in Cambodia, died. As reported by BBC.com, he was serving a lifetime term after being sentenced by a UN-backed court. Kang Gwekaf, known as Comrade Touch, ran the notorious Tuol slang prison, where thousands of people were tortured and murdered in the late 1970s. As many as 2 million people are believed to have died under the Khmer Rouge, a Moist regime that controlled Cambodia from 1975 to 1979. In 2010, Touch became the first senior Khmer Rouge leader to be convicted by the UN-backed tribunal after a journalist found him in hiding a decade earlier. He was sentenced in 2012 and he died on Wednesday at the age of 77 years old. A spokesperson for a tribunal in the capital of Phnom Penh said, without giving details of the cause. He had been ill for many years. Australia's economy has plunged into its first recession in nearly 30 years as it suffered the economic fallout from COVID-19 pandemic. As reported by BBC.com, gross domestic products or GDP shrank 7% in the April to June quarter compared to the previous 3 months. This is the biggest fall since record began back in 1959 and comes after a fall of 0.3% in the first quarter. An economy is considered to be in recession if it sees 2 consecutive quarters of negative growth. Australia was the only major economy to avoid recession during the 2008 global financial crisis, mainly due to demand from China for its natural resources. At the start of this year, the economy was hit by falling economy growth due to an extreme bushfire season and the early stages of the coronavirus outbreak. But recently, the shutdowns of businesses across the country have taken their toll, despite measures by the government and central bank to support the economy. Listener, that was the news. I'm Nuka Kusumawati.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, here is today's commentary titled Indonesian Ban to Malaysia. Beginning from September the 7th, Malaysian government will ban Indonesian citizens from visiting the country. This ban is to cut the spread of COVID-19 in Malaysia. Previously, health experts discovered that there had been quick coronavirus mutation in Malaysia. Besides Indonesia, some countries were also banned, namely India and Philippines. Malaysian Defense Minister Datuk Seri Ismail Sabri Yaakob, in a press release in Putrajaya on Tuesday, September the 1st, said that the travel ban for three Asian countries was taken because of massive virus spread. The ban includes permanent resident, Malaysia My Second Home visa, expatriates of all categories, including professional visit pass, resident pass, spouse visa, and student's pass. About Indonesian travel ban to Malaysia, Indonesian Foreign Affairs Minister had summoned Malaysian Ambassador for Indonesia, Zainal Abidin Bakar, for detailed explanation about the travel ban. Foreign Affairs Ministry's spokesperson Tuku Faizasyah, to Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta on Wednesday, said that Ambassador Zainal Abidin Bakar said that the travel ban is temporary and will be studied weekly by the authorities. Therefore, Indonesian government will release travel advice for Indonesians who will visit Malaysia to review their importance of visiting the country and reschedule their visit. In reality, coronavirus spread is quite worrying recently because of an increase in some cities and regions. There are some cities and regions that initially did not have any positive case, but now became regions with high spread. To overcome this pandemic, Indonesia and China had cooperated in producing vaccines that is now undergoing clinical tests in Bandung, West Java. Russia also had offered vaccine development cooperation with Indonesia in facing the second wave and quick mutation. Still, it seems the stakeholders must act firmly against the health protocol violation. Campaigns and socialization in every line must be implemented as effectively as possible. Cooperation with community and religious figures in preparing the health protocol must be encouraged more. Besides that, if urgent and necessary, Indonesian government must prepare some ban just like Malaysia, but for both Indonesian and foreign citizens from visiting the country. And listener, that was the commentary today.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, in our regular program Today in History, we start from an event on 3rd September 1928 when Sir Alexander Fleming discovered penicillin. On September 3rd, 1928, a Scottish scientist, Alexander Fleming, discovered penicillin, an antibiotic to fight bacteria. Then a team of scientists from Oxford University, led by Howard Walter Florey, an Australian pathologist, and his colleague Ernest Boris Chain, a British biochemist, succeeded in isolating and purifying penicillin based on Fleming's discovery in 1945, thanks to the findings and results of research that produced penicillin as the first antibiotic. Alexander Fleming, with Howard Florey and Ernest Chain, were awarded the Nobel Prize in Physiology or Medicine. Next, September 3rd, 1939, when Britain and France declare war on Germany. The declaration was done after the German invasion of Poland. It became the beginning of the Second World War. Shortly after declaring war on Germany, Britain and France began to blockade the German navy in the Atlantic Ocean. The British and French actions triggered the Battle of the Atlantic, which lasted until the end of World War II, precisely on May 8, 1945. The last event is that in 1976, Apollo Viking 2 landed on Mars. September 3, 1976 was the date of NASA whose Apollo Viking 2 landed on Mars. The launch of Viking 2 followed by the success of Viking 1, which was launched a year earlier, precisely on August 20, 1975. Both Apollos were launched with the aim of taking pictures and collecting other scientific data to review whether there is life on Mars. This mission cost $1 billion at the time. No sign of significance was found and the search for life on Mars continues. Well, listener, that was Today in History, read by Ahmad Faisal.
Pesan singkatku untukmu, ku sertakan tanda peluk dan ciumku. Apa kabar? Semoga kau baik saja dan menjaga cinta terpisah sementara. Maafkan aku jika terlalu lama kau menungguku pulang, tapi ku pastikan saat ku kembali hatiku tetap untukmu. Dan bila kau menduakanku, apalagi di belakangku, jangan salahkan bila di sini ku nakal dengan yang lain. Ku harap kau juga mengerti.
Listener, you're still with us in the Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world, on 3325 kHz and voinews.id. Next, we are going to present to you My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Today's My Indonesia title, Ministry of Marine Affairs and Fisheries develop seaweed packaging to reduce plastic waste. The Ministry of Marine Affairs and Fisheries is developing packaging from seaweed as an effort to support the plastic waste reduction program by engineering biodegradable manufacturing technologies. Director General of Strengthening the Competitiveness of Marine and Fisheries Products, Artati Widyarti in a press release in Jakarta last Saturday said that biodegradable packaging is defined as packaging film that can be recycled and destroyed naturally. Meanwhile, plastic waste takes a long time to decompose and vulnerable to be consumed by animals including marine life. Artati Widyarti added, in technological developments, packaging is not just about wrapping the product, but through packaging, one content or ingredient can be added in it, such as to monitor its freshness. In addition, in the development of retail marketing activities, the role of packaging has expanded, among others, by using sachets which are generally made of plastic. Plastic sachets are attractive, but they do not break down easily. For this reason, according to Artati, biodegradable plastic or bioplastic, which is almost entirely made of renewable materials such as starch, vegetable oil, and microbiota, is one of solutions in reducing plastic waste. Moreover, the national plastic consumption is still dominated by packaging, around 65%. Artati Widyarti reminded that the availability of bioplastic materials in nature is still very abundant. Moreover, Indonesia is one of the largest seaweed producers in the world, with a production increase of 30% each year. Therefore, it is very appropriate to take advantage of the potential of seaweed raw material as environmentally friendly food packaging and even provide fiber and other nutrients that the human body needs. That was my Indonesia.
From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program.
Ada kalanya sunyi bersuara, hanya perlu menikmati diam, memahami semua yang terjadi. Tak sekalipun memilih untuk bersamamu, memperjuangkan yang kita punya. Di sini juga tak apa, asalkan saling punya. Bersama, percaya saja akhirnya. akhirnya satu hari.
You are still with us in Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world, on 3325 kHz and voinews.id. Listener, next we are going to invite you to visit various places of Indonesia to know about its tourism objects or some local wisdom that we have only on Indonesian Wonder.
Welcome back to Indonesian Wonder. Today I'm going to let you know about Tanggedu Waterfall. East Sumba is one of the regencies in East Nusa Tenggara. In this regency, there are various interesting tourism objects, such as Puru Kambera and Walakiri beaches, which are well known as beautiful surfing spots in the world. During visiting East Sumba, many tourists also coming the remnants of megalithic culture in the form of stone graves and indigenous traditional houses, which are often used as the place for traditional burial ceremonies for nobles. In East Sumba, there is also Laiwangi Mangga Meti National Park, which is interested to visit. In today's edition of Indonesian Wonder, we invite you to know more about Tanggedu Waterfall tourism object, which is located in Tanggedu Village, Kanatang District, East Sumba Regency, East Nusa Tenggara. The distance is only about 46 km, or it takes about 1.5 hours from downtown Waingapu, the capital of Sumba Regency. Arriving at Tanggedu Village, the 2.5 km trip is continued by foot to Mandu and traditional hamlet Painatang. The trip crosses small river, split savanna, go down vast field, up and down the hills. Arriving at the Tanggedu Waterfall, you will immediately hear the sound of the waterfall. In this tourism site, there are two waterfalls from different rivers. The water flows from a height of about 8 meters. There are also several natural bathing pools. The water is very clean, fresh, and bluish color. During traveling to Tanggedu Waterfall, you can swim in several pools. The water discharge is quite heavy, so many tourists also doing body rafting or tubing in this pool. Don't forget to capture the moment by taking a photo. Tanggedu Waterfall site provides some interesting natural photo backgrounds. You can pose with the waterfall as a background, or you can choose another locations of rock cliffs at the left and right side of the river. In addition, the bathing pool with reliefs of various colored stones around it also becomes an interesting photo spot. Listener, that was our segment of Indonesian Wonder. Tomorrow we will meet again with another interesting topic. Goodbye.
Sekali di udara tetap. Kita harus mengemudikan siaran RRI sebagai alat perjuangan dan alat evolusi seluruh bangsa Indonesia. Dengan jiwa kebangsaan yang murni, hati yang bersih dan jujur, serta budi yang penuh kecintaan dan kesetiaan kepada tanah air dan bangsa.
Semua yang kami angkasawan RRI, sekali di udara tetap di udara, semenjak 45 tak pernah berhenti, patuh dan setia berjiwa Pancasila.
Listener, it's all that we have in English program. Thank you very much for listening, but stay tuned with us in the Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia for the World on 3325 kHz and voinews.id. In the meantime, do not forget to like and comment on our Facebook fan page, The Voice of Indonesia, or follow and mention us at Twitter at VOI Indonesia, and send us email on voi@voinews.id.
Welcome back in our regular segment, Miscellany. In today's edition, we present you information on Jack Wi-Fi free internet for Jakarta's residents. Listeners, on August 28, 2020, Governor of Jakarta Anies Baswedan launched the Jakarta Wi-Fi or Jak Wi-Fi program at the Jakarta City Hall. This program is a policy of installing free wireless internet for Jakarta's residents. According to Governor Anies, the need for the internet is getting higher during the COVID-19 pandemic because learning and working activities until business increasingly depend on internet access. The provision of free Wi-Fi is in collaboration with the Jakarta government and Bali Tower Indonesia. The free Wi-Fi access is scattered in various points, ranging from offices, parks, to government offices. Jakarta residents can check the Wi-Fi coverage area on the Jaki application or Jakarta Kini. First, you have to download the Jaki application. Then you have to search for the Wi-Fi service distribution option. Currently, users can see the option at the top of the application. After choosing the application, will display a map of Jakarta. After the access point appears, user can immediately search for the area with the access point which they want to know. In the application, users can find out whether free Wi-Fi is located outdoors or indoors. It can even be known whether the spot is available in park or child-friendly integrated public space. Jak Wi-Fi is intended for not only education but also the provision of the city's infrastructure and expansion of internet access during the COVID-19 pandemic. Currently, there are 4,956 access points that are being gradually upgraded. The expansion of the provision of internet access is targeted at more than 9,419 access points over the next 2 months. Meanwhile, Head of the Communication Informatics and Statistics Office, Jakarta Province, Atika Nur Rahmania, hopes that the provision of the free internet access for residents through Jak Wi-Fi can be the first step in accelerating the digital transformation of Jakarta's residents as a response to optimizing opportunities amid the COVID-19 pandemic. That was our segment miscellany for today. Thanks for listening.
Jadi indah cerita.
Listener, you're still with us in the Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world. Next, we are going to present to you the music corner, so stay tuned.
Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world. Listener, welcome back to Music Corner. Today, we will present a pop song entitled Satu Jam Saja. This song was popularized by Paula Alodia Item, or well known as Audi Item. Satu Jam Saja is one of Audi's hit songs. This single was firstly released in 2001. As the title suggests, this song describes someone's hope to be with his or her lover closely, although it's only for 1 hour. She or he wants to reminisce about the times they spent together. Well, listener, let's listen to Audi Item with the song Satu Jam Saja. Enjoy the song.
Esok takkan lagi satu jam saja hingga ku rasa bahagia mengakhiri segalanya. Sudah tak berarti satu jam saja
Voice of Indonesia. Voice of Indonesia.
Sinari cintamu. mencoba mengerti arti hadirmu.
Alright, listener, it's all that we have in English program. Thank you very much for listening, but stay tuned with us in the Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia for the World on 3325 kHz and voinews.id. In the meantime, do not forget to like and comment on our Facebook fan page, The Voice of Indonesia, or follow and mention us at Twitter, at @voiindonesia. And send us email on voi@voinews.id.